Welcome to Audio Notes. I'm David Fingal, Artistic Director of Music at Menlo, and it is with great pride and eager anticipation that I extend this first welcome to the 2012 festival season, Music at Menlo's 10th anniversary. This season, we explore the power of music from the listener's perspective. How does music affect us? How do we use it? What does it mean to us? Over the course of 8 concert programs surveying music's various powers, from the animation of dance and drama to the deepest nourishment of the soul, this season meditates on the simple and audacious question, what is music for? We've entitled the season Resonance to reflect the deep fundamental exploration of music that we look forward to taking with you this summer. Just as the sound of music depends on the resonance of physical objects, our experience of it as listeners is defined by the emotional resonance it inspires. Music resonates not only in our ears, but in our hearts and minds, and affects us in ways that are impossible to capture in words. It is this strange and marvelous dimension of music that we celebrate this season at Music at Menlo. As in previous seasons, this year's installment of Audio Notes brings you in-depth discussions of the music you'll be hearing at the festival. I'll be joined by Artistic Co-Director Wu Han, Music at Menlo's Artistic Administrator Patrick Castillo, and a few of this season's festival artists who will take you deep inside the music and prepare you for the rewarding musical experience that our audiences have come to expect over the last 10 years. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to seeing you at the concerts. Music and stories have been intertwined throughout history. From the earliest operas to present-day cinema, music has added unrealized dimensions and intensity to drama. Concert Program 4, Enhanced, explores 4 works that heighten the underlying drama. The program begins with a suite taken from Bernard Herrmann's iconic score originally written for Alfred Hitchcock's classic film Psycho. André Caplet's The Mask of the Red Death draws inspiration from Edgar Allan Poe's dark short story. Respighi's ethereal Il Tramonto brings forth the vivid poetry of Percy Bysshe Shelley. The program concludes with Stravinsky's The Soldier's Tale, based on a Russian folktale.
In the visual medium of film, music plays something of a behind-the-scenes role, rarely featured in the foreground, but always essential to the film's atmosphere. Whether intensifying the romance of a love story or the terror of a slasher flick, film scores enhance their film's emotional impact in profound ways. This is perhaps nowhere more evident than in the work of the great film composer Bernard Herrmann. Born in New York in 1911, Herrmann received his most formative musical training at New York University from the Australian composer Percy Grainger. Grainger exposed Herrmann to a broad range of musical styles and techniques, which would have an enormous effect on the shaping of his musical language. In his 20s, Herrmann served an apprenticeship at CBS, where he composed incidental music for radio plays. This opportunity forced Herrmann to develop a style that was immediate and dramatically gripping. It also brought him into contact with the great filmmaker Orson Welles, and in 1940, Herrmann produced the film score for Welles' classic film Citizen Kane, the first of numerous scores that would cement his legacy among Hollywood's greatest composers. In the 1950s and 60s, Herrmann developed a fruitful partnership with another great filmmaker in Alfred Hitchcock. This resulted in his creating the scores for numerous classic Hitchcock films, including Vertigo, North by Northwest, and, in 1960, Psycho. These remain among the most famous film scores of all time. For Psycho, Hitchcock had initially asked Herrmann to compose a jazz score. The film's modest budget, however, led Herrmann to compose a score for strings only, with no winds or other instruments. Herrmann, who, unlike many Hollywood composers, orchestrated his scores himself, considered the stark sound world of string orchestra an ideal complement to the film's austere art direction. Indeed, while the action of the film's first 20 minutes is relatively innocuous, Herman's score conjures a menacing sound world, foreshadowing the dramatic tension that arises later in the film. Psycho contains probably the single most iconic and influential passage of movie music ever composed. Hitchcock originally intended for the film's pivotal shower scene to remain eerily silent, but Herman insisted that Hitchcock try it with the musical cue that he had composed. Hitchcock agreed, and the resulting scene has become one of the most notorious in cinematic history. Herman's shrieking strings, mimicking the violent stabbing of Janet Leigh's character, make this one of the most terrifying moments in all of film. Hitchcock himself later acknowledged that, quote, 33% of the effect of Psycho was due to the music, end quote. The French composer and conductor André Caplet was one of the most prominent musical figures of his time. He's somewhat overlooked today, but his music demonstrates a striking originality that deserves a closer listen. He lived from 1878 to 1925. He died prematurely from pleurisy, following damage to his lungs while serving in the First World War. And he was a close intimate of Claude Debussy. Debussy recognized in Caplet's music, quote, a gift for conjuring up an atmosphere, end quote. This was a gift surely appreciated by Debussy, given the atmospheric quality of his own impressionist language. And Debussy even entrusted Caplet with the orchestration of three of the five acts of his work, The Martyrdom of Saint Sebastian. For his part, Caplet's music likewise bears an audible debt to Debussy's innovations. His music calls to mind the colorful harmonic palette of Debussy's music, but combines this element with an approach to vocal and instrumental writing that is distinctly Caplet's own. Caplet was especially preoccupied with writing for voice throughout his career, and even in his instrumental works, like the Conte Fantastique, The Mask of the Red Death, for harp and string quartet, an emotive vocal quality informs the music's expressive character. French music scholar Robert Orlage has written, quote, Caplet's art is one of constant imaginative renewal, and the way he expands the demands made on the human voice is paralleled in the virtuoso instrumental writing of later works, such as the Conte Fantastique for harp and string quartet, inspired by Poe's tale, The Mask of the Red Death. End quote. Caplet originally composed music after Edgar Allan Poe's short story, The Mask of the Red Death, in 1908. This took the form of a work for harp and string orchestra, but he revised this work between 1922 and 1923 as the Conte Fantastique. The Mask of the Red Death tells the tale of the wealthy Prince Prospero, who attempts to evade a horrific plague that has befallen his dominion.
The Red Death had long devastated the country. No pestilence had ever been so fatal or so hideous. Blood was its avatar and its seal. The redness and the horror of blood. There were sharp pains and sudden dizziness, and then profuse bleeding at the pores with dissolution. The scarlet stains upon the body and especially upon the face of the victim were the pest ban which shut him out from the aid and from the sympathy of his fellow men, and the whole seizure, progress, and termination of the disease were the incidents of half an hour. But the Prince Prospero was happy and dauntless and sagacious. When his dominions were half depopulated, he summoned to his presence a thousand hale and light-hearted friends from among the knights and dames of his court, and with these retired to the deep seclusion of one of his castellated abbeys. The abbey was amply provisioned. With such precautions, the courtiers might bid defiance to contagion. The prince had provided all the appliances of pleasure. There were buffoons. There were improvisatori. There were ballet dancers. There were musicians. There was beauty. There was wine. All these and security were within. Without was the Red Death.
Caplet's Contes Fantastiques offers a harrowingly vivid musical depiction of Poe's short story. Befitting the eeriness of the tale, Caplet's music begins with a strong sense of foreboding. The timbre of the ensemble of harp and strings infuses the scene with an otherworldly quality. The story continues.
It was toward the close of the fifth or sixth month of his seclusion, and while the pestilence raged most furiously abroad, that the Prince Prospero entertained his thousand friends at a masked ball of the most unusual magnificence.
One of the key elements of the setting of Poe's tale is a gigantic clock of ebony, whose toll haunts the guests of the masquerade.
Its pendulum swung to and fro with a dull, heavy, monotonous clang, and when the minute hand made the circuit of the face, and the hour was to be stricken, there came from the brazen lungs of the clock a sound which was clear and loud and deep and exceedingly musical, but of so peculiar a note and emphasis that, at each lapse of an hour, the musicians of the orchestra were constrained to pause momentarily in their performance to hearken to the sound, and thus the waltzers perforce ceased their evolutions, and there was a brief disconcert of the whole gay company, but when the echoes had fully ceased, a light laughter at once pervaded the assembly. The musicians looked at each other and smiled as if at their own nervousness and folly, and made whispering vows, each to the other, that the next chiming of the clock should produce in them no similar emotion, and then, after the lapse of 60 minutes, there came yet another chiming of the clock, and then were the same disconcert and tremulousness and meditation as before.
At midnight, the guests observe a mysterious stranger at the ball. I don't want to spoil the ending of the story, but it is Edgar Allan Poe, it's not Dr. Seuss, so you can probably guess that things don't quite end happily for Prince Prospero. And Caplet's Contes Fantastiques likewise comes to a gripping conclusion. Thank you. The Italian composer Ottorino Respighi produced a body of work striking for its soulfulness and emotional impact. Respighi lived from 1879 to 1936. In the 20th century, he ranks alongside Giacomo Puccini as one of Italy's most beloved composers. Respighi's musical language, often eclectic but drawing heavily from the Romantic tradition, is characterized by its vivid harmonic and instrumental color, and the immediacy of his melodic writing, especially in his vocal music. These qualities are on full display in one of his most popular works, Il Tramonto, for mezzo-soprano and string quartet. Il Tramonto sets an Italian translation of the English poet Percy Bysshe Shelley's The Sunset. Respighi's operatic musical language brings the romantic temperament of Shelley's text to life.
There late was one within whose subtle being, as light and wind within some delicate cloud that fades amid the blue noon's burning sky, genius and death contended.
The music grows more fervent as the poem introduces the youth's lover.
None may know the sweetness of the joy which made his breath fail, like the trances of the summer air, when, with the lady of his love, who then first knew the unreserve of mingled being, he walked along the pathway of a field which to the east a hoar wood shadowed o'er, but to the west was open to the sky.
Music turns serene as Shelley's text describes the idyllic setting in which the youth walks with his lover. As the poem describes the sunset, Respighi writes rising and falling melodic figures in the strings.
That night the youth and lady mingled lay in love and sleep. But when the morning came, the lady found her lover dead and cold.
The forceful chords that accompany the youth's death abate as the poem goes on to describe the lady's quiet future.
The lady died not, nor grew wild, but year by year lived on. In truth, I think her gentleness and patience and sad smiles, and that she did not die, but lived to tend her aged father, were a kind of madness, if madness 'tis to be unlike the world.
The music becomes especially dolorous as the text describes the woman's loneliness in old age. The poem ends with the lady asking for the same final repose granted her lover years before.
Inheritor of more than earth can give, passionless calm and silence unreproved, where the dead find, oh, not sleep, but rest, and are the uncomplaining things they seem, or live, a drop in the deep sea of love, oh, that like thine, mine epitaph were peace.
The British musicologist John C.G. Waterhouse has praised Il Tramonto for, quote, combining lyricism and restrained dramatic expression in a hauntingly eloquent single-movement cantata. The accompaniment, though here for strings alone, contains plentiful signs of Respighi's flair for imaginative textures, fully justifying the work's place among his most widely performed vocal compositions, end quote. The breadth of Russian composer Igor Stravinsky's influence on music history is difficult to exaggerate. That he was the 20th century's greatest composer remains the contention of many. Living from 1882 to 1971, Stravinsky absorbed virtually every significant musical innovation of the 20th century, from neoclassicism to serialism, each of which consequently became a part of his own arsenal of compositional techniques. In his own words, quote, I stumble upon something unexpected. This unexpected element strikes me, I make note of it. At the proper time, I put it to profitable use. End quote. Stravinsky composed L'Histoire du Soldat, or The Soldier's Tale, in 1919, 6 years after Paris infamously rioted at the premiere of The Rite of Spring. It's one of numerous stage works composed over Stravinsky's career. Scored for a large ensemble of clarinet, bassoon, trumpet, trombone, violin, double bass, and percussion, plus two or three actors and, in many performances, one dancer. L'Histoire du Soldat tells the story of a soldier named Joseph, who sells his violin to the devil for a magical book, which, of all things, forecasts the future of the economy and promises untold wealth. It's a light-hearted and ultimately darkly comic parable, and Stravinsky's music suits the narrative beautifully. The Soldier's Tale illustrates Stravinsky's neoclassical style, an aesthetic prevalent during the early 20th century and pioneered particularly by Stravinsky, characterized by a preoccupation with the musical principles of the classical period. Though its sound is distinctly modern, The Soldier's Tale and Stravinsky's other neoclassical works value melodic and formal clarity, and avoid the dramatic excess of romanticism. Obviously, with the narration, the plot of The Soldier's Tale is made perfectly clear in performance. But independently of the overt theatrical elements of the work, the music on its own is remarkably vivid and truly brings the story to life. The work begins with the soldier's march, whose affable gait and colorful instrumentation set the tone for the ensuing folktale.
Down a hot and dusty road tramps a soldier with his load. Days leave he has to spend. Will his journey never end?
Joseph, on his journey home, stops by a stream to rest, takes out his fiddle, and begins to play a simple tune. The devil, disguised as an old man, approaches Joseph and asks to buy his fiddle. In exchange, the devil offers his magical book. Joseph agrees, but doesn't understand how to read the book, nor does the devil know how to play the violin. So he invites Joseph to come to his home for 3 days so that they can tutor one another. Joseph agrees to stay with the devil for 3 days, but the devil tricks him, and he unwittingly stays 3 years instead. And by the time he returns home, everything has changed. His old friends see him and run away. He goes to visit his fiancée and finds her married with children. Even his mother is terrified at the sight of him. Joseph realizes how much time has actually elapsed, that he had been given up for dead, and that everyone who sees him thinks he's a ghost. As a soundtrack to the soldier's resignation, Stravinsky writes a languid pastoral for winds. Joseph encounters the devil again and confronts him about the ruse he's fallen for. The devil reminds him of the power of the book, which, indeed, helps him amass a great fortune. But this ultimately is of no consolation. One day, the king's daughter falls ill, and the king offers her hand in marriage to anyone who can cure her. The soldier seizes the opportunity, but upon entering the king's palace, encounters the devil, now disguised as an expert violinist. The soldier gambles all of his wealth on a game of cards with the devil. He loses his wealth, but recovers his violin, which he plays to revive the princess. The princess awakens and begins to dance. The music to this scene is one of the most irresistible parts of the soldier's tale. Stravinsky composes a multicultural suite of three dances, beginning with an Argentinian tango. Next, a Viennese waltz. Finally, an American ragtime. The devil challenges Joseph and the princess a final time, but Joseph protects the princess by playing another, more diabolical dance. The devil can't resist and dances himself to exhaustion. Finally, the soldier and the princess are free of the devil's wiles. Or so they think, but the devil returns and warns Joseph and the princess that they can never leave the castle, or he will regain control of them, and the princess will again take gravely ill. Over the great chorale, the narrator proffers the moral of the story.
No one can have it all. That is forbidden. You must learn to choose between. One happy thing is every happy thing. Two is as if they had never been.
At the story's conclusion, Joseph, tempted by the prospect of both being with the princess and reuniting with his mother, unwisely tests the devil's warning. He exits the castle, but quickly changes his mind and turns back, only to find that his bride has vanished. The work ends with the triumphal march of the devil, a kind of perverse transfiguration of the soldier's march that began the story. Thank you. Audio Notes is authored and produced by Patrick Castillo and narrated by David Finkel, Wu Han, Patrick Castillo, and Isaac Thompson. Additional mastering is provided by Dahong Situ. Musical excerpts on this disc appear courtesy of the following artists and organizations. Respighi's Il Tramonto, performed by Sena Yurinak and the Bareilly Quartet, appears courtesy of Deutsche Grammophon, available online at www.deutschegrammophon.com. Bernard Herrmann's Psycho Suite is performed by the Tippett Quartet and appears courtesy of Synium Records. André Caplet's The Mask of the Red Death is performed by Bridget Kibbe, Kristen Lee, Aaron Keefe, Richard O'Neill, and Jakob Karanyi, and appears courtesy of the Chamber Music Society of Lincoln Center. Igor Stravinsky's L'Histoire du Soldat is performed by the London Festival Orchestra, conducted by Ross Popel, and appears courtesy of Arte Nova Records, a member of Allegro Media Group. Audio Notes is a copyrighted production of Artist Led.